You're listening to Sideshow Network. Check out all of our shows at SideshowNetwork.tv.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such an achievement, who would have blamed Vonage if they said, "Enjoy better, people. We'll be by the pool." But the thing about better is, there's always more better. So today, Vonage is not unleashing its ripped abdominals by the pool, but is back to work transforming communications for business by making it better with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
Hi, it's Alonzo Bowden. Listen, you like making great money, don't you? Of course you do. Everybody does. Well, here's a really cool opportunity that I want to share with you. Driving with Uber. Come on, you know Uber. It's a smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. I've taken Uber. You've taken Uber. We all know people who've taken Uber. Well, you ever talk to the drivers? Because some of them will tell you some really interesting stories about what? About making money driving with Uber. A lot of reasons to do it. You can be your own boss. You can earn great money. It's easy to start. All you need is a car and a license. Driving with Uber is great for anyone who needs flexibility. You're a parent. You have a child. You need to work around the kid's schedule. You can drive with Uber. Students, you want to make some extra money between classes, maybe on weekends, you can drive with Uber. Now is the prime time to cash in on driving with Uber. You're going to thank me. You're going to thank me because you're going to get paid every week. I could be getting into your car when you're driving with Uber. And then you could tell me all about my podcast and everything I've done wrong. Wait a minute. This isn't about me. This is about you. You got a car. You have a license. Put them both to work for you and start earning serious money today. Sign up to Drive with Uber. Just visit drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Do it. DriveWithUber.com. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 113 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And I guess I have to start it off talking about the big topic, which is a debate. And I'm going to tell you right off, I didn't see the debate. I didn't see the debate because I was recording an episode of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. As you know, I'm a semi-regular panelist on that show on NPR. And if you haven't listened to it, please do, because it's hilarious. Comes on weekends and syndication on NPR. But it was a very interesting situation. It's a news quiz show that we were recording while the biggest news going on was happening. We recorded the show Thursday night during the debate. So we, on that show, we actually had to basically pause in the taping, get our notes on the debate, get the producers gave us the highlights, and then we talked about that. And I'm going to talk a little about it now, but I'm telling you now, this is not firsthand experience. I did not watch the debate, okay? I'm coming clean. I've heard lots of analysis of the debate. I actually was driving this morning from Chicago to Indianapolis. And by the way, if you have any reason to drive in downtown Chicago, don't, okay? It is impossible. It is physically impossible to get from Lower Wacker Drive to Upper Wacker Drive. Lower Wacker Drive is under Upper Wacker Drive, and I still haven't figured out how I got from one to the other. That's a whole nother story. I'll give you another little tip. Avoid the Swiss Hotel in downtown Chicago. Am I the only one who checks into a hotel and doesn't believe them when they say, "Oh, there are no rooms available at 2 in the afternoon"? Come on. Anyway, enough of my problems. Getting back to this debate talk. So, driving, I was listening to different analysis of the debate, different people talking about the debate, and here's what I picked up. Donald Trump, obviously he's the big story, didn't win, didn't lose. Megyn Kelly hit him hard about calling women slobs and pigs and disgusting and blah, blah, blah. And Donald replied, "Well, I was talking about Rosie O'Donnell." And when that didn't get a laugh and when Megyn Kelly didn't let him off the hook, he said that Megyn Kelly was mean to him. Aw, sorry, Donald. You're a loudmouth. People are going to be mean to you. They also hit him up on his bankruptcies. They hit him up on, he said that he's not above running independent. They talked to him about, you know, his contributions to the Clintons, blah, blah, blah. And Donald, here's the thing about Donald Trump. Donald Trump, is like when Arnold Schwarzenegger, and this is scary because Arnold won, but it's like when Arnold was running for governor of California. Donald knows how to work the TV. He knows how to work the cameras. He knows how to say inflammatory things. And here's the thing, and this is, I was going to call it a dirty little secret, but it's not. You know Fox loves him. Fox News has no interest in hitting Donald hard and getting him eliminated as a presidential candidate. As long as Donald is number one on the Republican ticket, it's great for ratings, it's great for news, it's good for entertainment. So Fox isn't going to jam him up. And people talked about Fox asked tough questions, but did they really? Did they really ask about the tough things going on in this country? Like the racial issues going on in this country, like the issues with the police going on in this country? Nothing about global warming. But, again, it was a Republican debate, and none of those topics exist on the Republican side. So I can't really get on him about that. Some say Marco Rubio won the debate. I don't know. I've been reading and been listening. He wasn't asked any really tough questions, but Rubio didn't hurt himself. Now, there's a lot of talk about Rand Paul being attacked. Well, have we forgotten that Rand Paul is crazy? Rand Paul's one of the crazy candidates. You see, just Donald Trump's level of crazy has overshadowed everyone else's. So Rand Paul being attacked is okay with me. Ted Cruz, if you haven't heard, if you haven't seen the commercial, Ted Cruz cooked bacon by wrapping it around a machine gun, firing the machine gun, and said, "This is how we cook bacon in Texas." Now, once you've done that and you're still considered a serious presidential candidate, it's a reality show. It is a reality show. We can't take this too seriously. Jeb's whole thing is hoping you don't remember his last name. Just call me Jeb. Just call me Jeb. Jeb, what? Dad, don't worry about that, because you might remember that it was my brother that ruined this country. But anyway, Jeb Bush didn't do anything, didn't shine, just was there. And this is, again, I didn't watch the whole thing. Thank God I didn't have to watch the whole thing. But these were the highlights that I've gleaned from it. Fiona, or whatever her name is, won the, as we call it, the kids' table debate, which was the debate before the debate of the also-ran candidates. And, you know, Ben Carson was there somewhere. Yeah, good luck with that whole black Republican thing, Ben. Let me know how that works out for you. You might want to call Herman Cain. Ask him what he's doing these days. But anyway, that I don't know what else to say about this. You know, it's nice that they didn't bring up the whole the country's a mess because of Obama routine again, because actually the country's doing pretty good. But, you know, yes, we know the first thing you're going to do is repeal Obamacare, blah, blah, blah. All of that is just the same old, same old. This debate, is it a debate? Is it important? I don't think so. It's really early. All the clown candidates are still there. And it was interesting that Jeb Bush denied calling Donald Trump a buffoon and a clown and all that stuff, as if you can't just look it up. And, you know, you got to remember, candidates, everything you say is recorded. It's all on your Twitter feed. And, well, except for Hillary's emails. But we'll get to that when we get to the Democratic debate. Is there going to be a Democratic debate? Who's she going to argue with? I think it's going to be Hillary and 9 empty chairs. And she's just going to argue with herself. Or maybe her and Tom Brady will look for emails together. I don't know. So what have we learned from the debate? I don't know. Not much. The governor of Ohio sounded decent. He might be a real candidate. Marco Rubio might be a real candidate. Jeb Bush has obviously got a ton of money behind him, so he's going to be a real candidate. Carly's not going to be a real candidate. Cruz is not going to be a real candidate. Jindal is not going to be a real candidate. Trump is going to just, he's loving this publicity. He's going to wear it out. And I don't know if he'll flame out or if he'll just pretend to be flustered and say, "I'm not a politician, I'm not part of the system," and walk away. I don't know how he's going to spin this, but you better believe he will spin it in his favor. And like I said the same thing about Sarah Palin. We call them dumb. They're not dumb. They are very media savvy. They don't know anything about issues. They have no idea how to govern, but they sure know how to work the media and keep their names in the limelight. So kudos to them, because if I had done that, then this podcast would be some kind of big national radio broadcast. And if I knew how to spin the media, I'd be next to Don Lemon right now. Actually, I wouldn't. But, you know, I end it. What do they say? Don't knock the player. Knock the game. Don't knock the player. Knock the game. Donald's working it. Good for him. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Other issues, other topics. Yeah, there. Listen, I'm trying to run out of here. I'm in Indianapolis because there's a MotoGP race. You listen to me. You know I'm a big fan of MotoGP, International Motorcycle Racing Championship. I'd rather be at the track by now. Love you guys. Love doing the podcast. But you know I'd rather be out there watching motorcycles race around, dreaming that I had the talent to ride one of them. There have been other things in the news, obviously. Zachary Hammond, I don't know if you're familiar with this story. Zachary Hammond, a young white man, unarmed and shot by the police. It happened in South Carolina. There's always varying stories, but apparently what happened was there was some sort of sting operation going on buying marijuana. Zachary Hammond was caught up in it selling the weed, and the cop says that he was driving the car at him. His family says he was shot in the back. I don't know how you get shot in the back when you're behind the wheel. If you're driving a car towards somebody, I don't know how you get shot in the back. Here's the thing. This is the interesting thing. We know about Black Lives Matter, and then that was countered by All Lives Matter. But the All Lives Matter movement hasn't said anything about this kid Zachary Hammond getting shot. You know who has? Black Lives Matter. I don't know. You know, this is a new story, but it's not. It's an old story. I don't know what we're going to do with the police. I think we have to, and I say we, I mean our society, the media, the narrative on these stories, they have to acknowledge the police are wrong. They have to acknowledge there seems to be almost a systematic problem with our policing of shoot first, ask questions later. Look, I know the cops have a tough job, and I know there are times when it's, you know, dangerous to be a cop. But there's so many of these unexplained shootings. There's so many of these. Now we have body camera videos and dash cam videos and people watching using their phone to record video of cops just wrong. And it'd be different if it was less than killing, but people are getting killed. So I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do with this, but it's just, yeah. So there were a lot of people who had some kind of, and I can't even explain it, but it was like a thing of, well, you know, these black kids are getting shot by the police because they don't know how to behave when the police come at them. Well, now a white kid was shot. And I'm not saying that that's balanced. I'm not saying that it's okay. I'm saying it's horrible on both sides, and we need to look at the police. Another theater attacked, Nashville, Tennessee. The guy had a pellet gun, an axe, pepper spray, propane tank, lighter fluid. They don't know what he was going to do. He was shot to death by SWAT. Now there's all this talk about what are we going to do in movie theaters? Are we going to add metal detectors to movie theaters? Or sorry about that background noise. I'm in a hotel. They're doing some kind of work. Are we going to add metal detectors to movie theaters? Of course, the open carry crowd says, well, if we all had guns, there wouldn't be any shootings in movie theaters. Yeah, because if everyone in a dark theater has a gun and starts shooting, what could go wrong? How could that possibly go bad? This open carry extreme arm of the NRA, and just the idea that you're extreme within the NRA, maybe we should put them all in a dark room and arm them and let them do some open carry firing or cook some bacon or whatever. It's a level of insanity that defies description. I don't know how you deal with it. And here's another thing. You know, kudos to Amy Schumer for speaking out against gun violence, because as we know, the shooting in Louisiana took place during her movie Trainwreck. And now she's getting backlash for speaking out against guns when there was a shooting in a movie theater showing her movie. Like, what is she supposed to say? That it was okay? Or no, you know what she's supposed to do? She's not supposed to have an opinion. Now, this is another thing. This is funny to me because I know for a fact I've been unfriended, and it's sad that that's where our society is, that that's the threat. I'll unfriend you. I've been unfriended and unfollowed by people for what? For talking about politics. You're a comedian. Don't you be talking about politics. And they're getting on Amy about, well, guess what? Comedians have always talked about politics. We talk about society. We talk about society's ills. We have opinions. And you know what? And trust me, it is always a right-wing person who's saying we shouldn't talk about this stuff. I'm sure it would be okay for us to talk about it if we agreed with your position. I'm sure it'd be okay to be a comic and talk about guns if you had some jokes about the reasons you should carry an assault rifle into a supermarket, you know. But yeah, we have an opinion and we're entitled to an opinion. And you know what? That's what freedom of speech is. Freedom of speech is the being entitled to have opinions that you don't agree with. I don't agree with gun lobby, but they have the right to say it. I don't agree with the Confederate flag waivers, but they have a right to their opinion. And on and on. And listen, I may not listen to you, but I'm not going to listen to you and then tell you you can't say what you said. That doesn't even make sense. Which is probably why they do it. So, yeah, I say kudos to Amy Schumer for speaking out against guns when there was a shooting at the, you know, screening of her movie. And metal detectors at movie theaters, how far does it go before we look at ourselves as a country and say, maybe the problem is too many guns that are too easy to get. Maybe I can cook bacon with a stove and a pan. I'm just throwing it out there. It's a possibility. I could go on and on. I could talk to you about Carly winning the little table debate is like winning the NIT tournament. What the hell is that? Exactly. For those who don't know, the NCAA is the big basketball tournament, and the NIT is the little baby basketball tournament that's sort of consolation prize. So if you win the NIT tournament, you can say, we're number 68. So there'll be other debates. There'll be more political talk. Donald Trump is laughing. He is laughing his ass off, and good for the Donald. Good for the Donald. You know what? When it comes to politicians, he's the apprentice, and so far, he hasn't been fired. And finally, I want to say thank you and enjoy your retirement, your next phase. Enjoy where you're headed, Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart last night closed out The Daily Show and did it as smart and funny, as classy as he's always done. And basically he said, listen, it's not goodbye because a career, a performance, it's a continuing conversation. He talked about his 16 years has been a conversation with America. A bit one-sided, he did say that, but he said the conversation's not over. He's just going out for a drink. So, and then he had Bruce Springsteen play him out. You know something, John? Enjoy that drink, and we hope to bump into you at the bar. Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Thank you guys for listening. Next week, August 13th through 16th, I'll be at Caroline's in New York City, followed by a weekend at Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova, California. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. And friend me. Don't unfriend me. It's Alonzo Bowden. Goodbye.